went with the armor of the Lord, wishing Satan back with the word of God, our soul. Amen. I want to thank God for our musical support.
Amen.
Brother Goose, he puts his heart into it.
Amen.
So Brother Ron. Amen. Amen. And we give God praise for them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's always a great thing to lift up praise to the Most High.
Amen.
Amen. Kind of good to get some different kinds of things going on sometimes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we are thankful that the Lord has let us come again. And those of you who've been with us, you know, we turned the corner and we have finally made our way through that epistle to the Romans. Amen. And I found it to be a very, very fruitful experience. It's always a great thing to find yourself completing a section of Scripture. Amen. And it's recommended that we go over these things again and again. Amen. Throughout our Christian walk. And each time you do, you'll find that God will advance you to a new level of understanding. Amen. What I found about myself is that I need a lot of work. I got a lot of work God needs to do on this one here. Amen. So I assume you're like me in that regard. And some of you have been on the battlefield much longer than me. Some of our mothers and those of you who have labored throughout the years. So I know probably when it comes around again that you hear a teaching all the way through a section of scripture like that, that you can find reason to rejoice, and you find yourself learning fresh new things all the time. Amen. And that's what's been my experience as well, is that I've been learning new things. So I figured since we are at this point that we will take a brief hiatus. I was mentioning at Bible study that some of what we do here is pretty academic. In other words, you're being taught things on a very serious level. And I try to keep some things down on the level where even the children who are here can grab hold of some of it. Because Jesus did say, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Amen.
Amen. So we try to keep it on a level where the children can go away with something. Middle-aged people can go away with something. And even those of you who are well-seasoned in the Word, you can go away with something. Amen. Kind of like when you go to the smorgasbord, there's going to be some fruits and vegetables, and there's going to be some light finger snacks, and eventually you get down there where the steak and the potatoes are, and you can just pick what's appropriate for you. Amen. Off of the menu. Amen. And so we thank God for that opportunity, and I want to say now today, in other words, I just said all that to say that we're going to take time now to talk about a concept that we learned while we were in Romans. And I think this is a good thing. And also the Lord has impressed it upon my spirit, especially since Kelsey's testimony.
Amen.
To talk with us. We're going to take a season to discuss
Amen.
Giving and offering.
Amen.
And I know that's a
Amen.
Sore subject for a lot
Amen.
Of people.
Amen.
But we want you to know what the Bible says about it.
Amen.
Amen. And when we see people in the midst of us that are being blessed.
Amen.
And God is blessing them hand over fist.
Yes.
And you don't even know where it's coming
Amen.
From.
Amen.
And he just continues to do it. We need to understand that. That's
Amen.
How I would like
Amen.
To hear every one of you get up
Amen.
And say, look what
Amen.
God did for me
Amen.
This week. You know?
Amen.
Amen. And so we do want to talk about that. It's a good subject. And a lot of times it's a sore subject because there's been so much bad teaching about it.
Amen.
And you've seen so much corruption and
Amen.
Foolishness
Amen.
In the church.
Amen.
So we want to set all that straight and get you into the Word
right.
and tell you what
Amen.
God says
Amen.
On that subject. Amen. So we'll be doing that in the coming weeks.
Amen.
And that means invite all your friends, neighbors, everybody
all
who
right.
would like to know. And we will take some time, actually, and field some questions if
Amen.
Anyone has questions about
Amen.
The topic.
Amen.
And we want to make it very clear. Because I have always learned and taught throughout my ministry, just to give a brief note on that, tithing is kind of like you learning your ABCs.
Right.
When you go to elementary school, the first thing they teach you is ABC, because you got to learn that first.
Right.
In order to do, once you learn how to read, now you can go explore the world. See,
Amen.
You can learn anything you want. There's no limitations of what you can know once you get those fundamentals under your belt. And so I think giving is like that
Amen.
Also. You start
Amen.
With the fundamentals
Amen.
And let God, the Holy Spirit, move you along.
Mm-hmm.
and he'll show you what you ought to do.
Amen.
I was reading about a dude the other day. Somebody had billions of dollars, and what they do is God has given them a ministry of giving.
Amen.
And they go around and set other things up and get other people who are doing ministry moving. And God uses them like a conduit, and money is just flowing through them going to other ministries. Mm-hmm. They don't do any ministries. And my gift is the gift of giving. And I like to finance ministries and get them moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do, and God continues to bless them, you see. And so there's a lot of different ways that works. And so we want to talk about that just so you get a good perspective. But one thing you're going to need throughout your Christian life is this thing that we have here before us today. So as we go through the turmoil of everyday life, there are some things that tend to get you down and keep you from sometimes wondering about how things are going to come out in life. You have questionable stuff that threatens your existence all as you go through life. If you're anything like me now, somebody might be on a bed of roses, and maybe I'm not talking to you. If that's the case, if everything's good in your life, you haven't had no trouble.
Amen.
And all that. But, you know, most of the people I know, and on my street, trouble does come and knock on my door from time to time. You see? And so at times like these, this is when you and I need to remain anchored in what we, and as anchored if we always rely on focusing on the things that God has said. See, that's what you have to do. When the trouble comes, you want to already be connected with God.
That's right.
You want to have that communication going. So when it comes, this is no stranger. Trouble's knocked on my door before.
Right.
And I'm sure it will knock again. You know, so what are we going to do with it? How do we handle it? That's
all
the
right
thing we want to talk about.
Amen.
And I guess it could be said that the one thing that would best answer it in just a brief statement is spiritual confidence.
Yeah.
Spiritual confidence.
If you are confident in the things that God is doing in your life,
amen.
Your connection with God is tight.
Yeah.
It's not loose. It's not willy-nilly. It's not here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Then God can strengthen you to go through trials.
Yes,
he can strengthen you to go through difficulties. And if you think about it, think about this now. Even God the Son,
mm-hmm.
when he came into the world, you think, oh, they'll leave him alone. He's God's Son.
Mm-hmm.
No. Much to the contrary. Jesus came. He had to suffer the most unimaginable kind of thing.
Right.
And we've heard the story. But think about that. If you're God, and you're coming in to do something for all these people who have no hope. There's no way that they can ever be right with God. Ran them out the garden years ago, set a cherubim with flaming sword
yes,
at the entrance of to guard the way to the tree of life. They're hopeless.
Yes.
But I still love them.
That's right.
Because when Adam changed, I never did.
That's right.
I loved him, made him in my own image.
Yes. Yes.
Gave him the whole world, made the heavens and the earth for him. Gave him dominion and authority over it all.
Yes, he did.
He sinned.
Yes, he did.
But guess what? God never changed.
Yeah.
So God said, I got to protect him. He started protecting him right away from the word go and separated and guarded him from the tree of life so he couldn't stay that way.
That's right.
Because God already had a plan how
yes.
I'm going to fix it. My love is so strong, I'm going to fix it and bring him back, give him a way back to perfect fellowship with me.
Yes.
And that way it would be through his son. Now, we know that. You and I who study the gospel all the time, we understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
That's right.
He says, John 14:6, no man can come to the Father but by me. But you think, such a special guest coming into the world, will he have trouble too? Will he have to experience pain and anguish and hatred, animosity, shame, slander, all the kind of stuff we
yes.
go through?
Yes.
And the answer is yes.
Yes.
Because we were talking about this morning when we were discussing 1 Corinthians 13, the love yes. chapter,
amen.
A little bit in Sunday school.
Amen.
Now, you know, there were still
yes.
people who hated him, and there are still people who hate him today.
Uh-huh. Yes,
you know, in spite of the fact that he came out of heaven,
mm-hmm.
took on a body of flesh in order to give his life as a ransom for our sins, he came with nothing but a good intention.
Yes.
And he was totally misunderstood by some of the people who were there. Some of them understood who he was and why he had come. Some of them understood, but think about the other part, and he had already written it in the word that he's going to come to his own, and some of them are going to receive him,
yes.
but others are going to say, crucify him.
Yeah, yeah.
And God already knew that. So you and I need to start off with the same knowledge.
All right.
There's going to be people in your life who celebrate you.
Yes.
There's going to be some others who would like to crucify you. You need to understand that.
That's right.
Trouble is going to knock on every door. It's not going to leave any door untouched. And that's what happened to even Jesus. When God came in the flesh, this happened to him. Now, I want you to see a few glimpses here. This is really an uplifting message. I hope it will be for you. Because you can see that throughout the life of the faithful and all of the history of time, that they have had to deal with the same kind of stuff that you and I have to deal with today. Here it is. I just want to give you a glimpse into the life of the psalmist here, who writes, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and all and my supplications. See, in other words, I have a channel of prayer with God. And God is love. So this relationship is about love.
Yes.
I love him because he heard my voice. How do I know? Because I asked him for some things and he took care of them.
Amen. Yeah.
There was stuff in my life bigger than I could handle. I put it all over in his account, like we said over there this morning. Cast all your burden on him and he dealt with it.
Yes.
It didn't take me out. It threatened me like it was going to take me out. But I love the Lord because he heard my voice. Yes. That's that relationship of prayer. And my supplications, that means I ask him to supply me with some things, Lord, that I need, that I'm lacking. It doesn't have to be financial things or anything like that. But sometimes you're just lacking peace.
Amen.
I need peace, Lord. Amen. I got some stuff bothering me. I got a threat over here and a threat over there. You know, and so you might just need peace. And you ask God, give me peace in the midst of this trial that I'm going through. So the psalmist says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. See that? Yes. What a privilege that is that you can call on the Most High God.
Yes.
That you have his ear.
Amen.
He will hear you if you call upon him.
Yes.
Call upon me and I will answer you, he says. You see? And he says, therefore I will call upon him long as I live. I guess this is where that song, I love the Lord, he heard my cry.
Yes.
And pitied every groan. As long as I live, while trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. That's what he's saying. It probably comes out of a verse of scripture like this. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. You know, death is one of the things most difficult to deal with in life. You know, if you don't have an understanding of it and a relationship with God to take you through it. You know, a lot of times we struggle with death when people die and leave out of our lives because it's just such an empty vacuum in life. But the psalmist did this. This has been going on ever since the beginning. I imagine Adam and Eve felt that way when Cain slew Abel.
Yes.
And they had to miss him now for the rest of their time on earth. And so this has been going on all the way back from the very beginning. And then it says, and the pains of hell got hold upon me and I found trouble and sorrow.
Yes.
See that? So the stuff going on in life, there's a lot of people who aren't talking to God.
That's right.
They don't believe in God. Or they think something else is God.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't God. And so they're involved in stuff that we would say this is an awful stuff that they're involved in. You know, we were used to be involved in some of it ourselves.
Boy.
I had to ask God to get me out of a hellish situation. Turn me around from some of these binds and chains that are binding me.
Yeah.
Get me straight. Set my feet on the
rock.
You see, and he heard my cry and he answered me. And he turned me around. But in the meantime, other people are still out there in the struggle. See, and God loves them too. That's the thing you and I have to remember. And part of why he leaves us in the midst of it is that we are agents of change, you and I.
Amen.
Because he'd like to use your life as a testimony so somebody else can see what he did for you.
Yes.
So that you will boast and give him the glory.
Amen.
That you'll say, God brought me up out of this.
Amen.
And that's the reason why. And I know he'll bring you out to
do
the testifying and let them know that he is able and he's willing
he's
to
able.
Do so. Amen. So the psalmist could see it. He said, but sometimes you get in it and you get to wondering, Lord, what's going on? You know, we're going to see that when we look at Amos next week. I heard we were supposed to be studying him.
Yes.
But even Habakkuk, they cry out, God, why are you letting the stuff go so bad?
Mm-hmm.
You look at the news, it's like, oh, I don't even want to watch the news anymore now.
Mm-hmm.
After a while, because it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yes.
The stuff that we see. And just when we thought we saw the worst thing we'd ever see, something comes on and tops it.
Yes,
so the psalmist is in the midst of that. He says, these things got up on me, and I found trouble and sorrow. But notice he says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God is a God of mercy. The Lord preserveth the simple. That's the people who don't know so much. And they don't understand how they're out of the way with God. There's an open door is a picture of the simple in the Hebrew. It's like an open door. Then they let anything come in and out in their life. So that's what that word simple means. And I was brought low and he helped me. So God comes to you at your low point in life.
Amen.
When you're down and out, we would say. And he'll help you even from there.
Amen.
Whatever you're struggling with, you can call on him anytime.
Oh, yes, you can.
He'll bring you up out of a horrible pit, the psalmist says.
Yes, he will.
And set your feet up on a rock. Take you up out of the miry clay and get you grounded.
Follow.
Up on something solid that you can build on, you see? And so he is able to do that. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. See that? Return unto thy rest. Now he gives his own self advice. this is what I would say to you today. Return unto your rest.
Yes.
You know, when you see all that trouble and turmoil stirring up in your life, realize that you have a place of resting. You have a place of refuge. The Lord, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run in. That's what it says. And they are safe. We can run in there because we got a place of refuge to come in out of the storm. We don't have to stay in the storm. We got somewhere to go, a place of shelter. You see that? So he says unto him, his soul, in verse 116:7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. He's got a track record of doing you right. He's got a track record of bringing you out of trouble. He's got a track record of setting a blessing in your way instead of a curse.
So
as we're going through dark and troubling times when things are not going as we desire that they would, while contrary conditions are oppressing our feeling normal, or so to speak, and content, that's what happens. You feel normal and content. Next thing you know, you get blindsided with some hogwash. And now, oh my goodness, now I'm upset. You know, it's coming from another direction. So right when you're in that spot, what should we do at times like this to stay afloat and get things moving again so as not to continue to go into deeper and deeper despair?
Yes.
There's but one answer that is tested and true. Trust and lean on God.
Amen. Yes.
Whose track record is flawless.
Yes, it is.
He's been bringing the saints out a long time. He's been blessing them, keeping his people moving forward. He's got more experience in blessing you than anybody on earth.
Yes,
and he loves you just like you are. He even understands our frame. He knows that we're but dust, one of the Psalms says.
Yes.
He understands, okay, I'm not expecting much in one sense from you because I know where you came from. But I also know I'm building you up. I'm making you stronger.
Yes.
I'm making you able to stand against things that otherwise would take you out. And you can probably think of a few things if you've been saved for any amount of time. There was something in your life that used to take you right out.
Yes.
You know, you'd be doing all right, doing fine, and this one thing would come along.
Yes.
And next thing you know, you're in a mess.
Yes.
I can think of a few. And we're not here to talk about that today. But we are here to talk about the fact that God was able to bring you out.
Amen.
And you can probably look back and say a few things. I don't ever go here no more. I will never, ever do that again.
Right.
You know, and God has fixed some stuff in your life. He's built you up to a point where you know right now that certain things, I'll never be stuck in that ever again in life. You see? And so God has built some things in your life. And what I would call that, and these things come from understanding his word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See? So the more of his word you implant, James said it's the engrafted word which is able to save your soul.
Yes. Amen.
See what I'm saying? He's saying get the word in you, and that's why this growth process takes place in our lives. The more we understand the word, we got more godly controls built into our life just by hearing the word. That's why it says faith comes by hearing, and you have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So basically, God is building up a system within you that's giving you spiritual confidence.
Yes.
That you can stand a little longer, you can stand a little stronger against something that used to take you out in times past. And there's some stuff coming you don't even know about yet.
Amen.
But God is strengthening you now, getting you ready. You know what? I handle trouble coming in now differently than I did before.
Amen.
I remember it used to be trouble comes in and I couldn't keep my mouth from saying the wrong thing. You know, just criticizing the situation. And now when you see it coming, you have a little better check on that because he started to teach you to control your tongue, to control your thoughts. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to
act.
So you can hold on a little bit more when you let it just come. Because you know, as some of the old folk used to say, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. So it's going to go right on past. Eventually, God's going to move it out my way. And so you know that. So you start to have that confidence in God that I can trust you a little further, a little longer. My fuse is longer than it used to be before I blow. Used to be you hit that button and boom, I blow up immediately. And now I can hold on a little bit more. And all of this comes from spiritual confidence, allowing God to build you up on the inside by knowledge of his word. Now notice what the psalmist says here. We'll move on to our New Testament text. He says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from failing. See, my feet are not going to let me fall. They're not going to take me down now. I can stand a little stronger in the midst of a trial or going through trouble. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living, long as I'm living. I'm dedicated to the Lord. See that?
Amen.
On this side of the grave, I'm going to walk before the Lord, however long that is.
Yeah.
You see? And I believe, therefore have I spoken. and I was greatly afflicted. He said, no, even though I was afflicted, I believe, so I'm going to say what God has done in my life. I'm going to be vocal about the blessings of God in my life. I'm going to speak of the goodness of the Lord. I like that one song says, my mouth will speak the praises of the Lord and bless his holy name. No matter what I'm going through. And you learn that. And that's all from spiritual confidence. So we can see it even in the old covenant. That's why I wanted to take you to Psalm 116 over there. And that's a good spot to see it. So the Apostle Paul, just as the psalmist states, has learned to overlook that which produces oppression and grief, anguish of soul, a cry for pity, any of that. He said, I learned the secret, that in whatsoever circumstance I'm in, therewith to be content. Remember that? He told the Philippians. But it's something you have to learn.
Amen.
It's something you acquire by God implanting his word into your life. So the Apostle Paul and the psalmist have come to the same consensus here that we need to recalibrate our focus when we're going through trouble.
All right.
And then our soul's dwelling place must now depend not on our fears, but rather on spiritual confidence, as well as on the future promises that God has made, which shall never fail. See, so we have other things. We got some stock built up on the inside of things God has said to charge us up so that we're ready for the next trial when it comes through. You know, it will come.
Yes, it will.
It will come, and when it does, you'll be prepared. That's why we want to stay prayed up.
Yes.
We want to be prayed up and ready for the next round when the devil comes. You know, he's coming back. Like he tempted Jesus several times. Remember that?
Yeah.
He kept on, and then it says, and he left him for a season, for a convenient season. I'm waiting. I'm going to come back later. You see? But you don't have to worry.
That's right.
See, trust in the Lord, as I heard somebody say it here this morning, with all your heart.
All your heart.
Lean not to your own understanding. You don't even need to understand it. I'm blessed about that. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You see that? God's going to direct your path as you go through. And what did the psalmist say? He said, yea, though I walk, what, through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. See, your path is being made straight because God, you're trusting in him and leaning not to your own understanding. Doesn't make any difference if you are having an issue or a circumstance or something seems like it might consume you at any moment.
Yes.
And so you and I need to learn that. Now, I want you to see Paul's perspective, and then we can almost wrap up our thoughts here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. Now, he quotes the psalmist that we just quoted from Psalm 116. I believed, and therefore have I spoken. See, that's where he got that from. He got that out of the Psalms. Keep in mind, when Paul was writing in his day, the only Bible that existed was the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And so he quotes right out of the Psalms. It would be him who would complete most of the New Testament.
He did
13 of the books of the 27 in the New Testament. And so he's writing here, and he quotes the psalmist, the same one we just did. See that? He says, as having the same spirit of faith. That means that same spirit of faith God has been giving since the foundation of the world, that he gave to the psalmist. He's given it to me, and I believe, and therefore have I spoken.
Yeah.
We also believe, speaking of the saints in the church, and therefore we speak. So you and I have that privilege and that ability to speak life. You know, other people can be moaning and complaining and talking about how bad the government, how bad the economy, and how bad all the... You know what? We ought to be the ones, the brightest ones in the room.
Yeah.
You know what? The economy may be bad, but God is better.
Yeah.
The circumstances might be bad, but the Lord is on the throne.
Yeah.
You know, we ought to be a bright light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Lord, everything is going down. People want to put a bad word out. Put a good word out.
Amen.
They're over there tweeting hogwash. Tweet something good.
Amen.
If you're going to be tweeting. You know, I always thought about that Twitter. They talk about Twitter out there, and I'm not trying to criticize it. But the first part of that is twit. There's a bunch of twits out there in the world, too, so you have to be careful when you talk about Twitter. You know, you have to watch out for that. I don't know what they came up with that. You know. But in either case, we'll leave that alone. But, you know, if you're going to tweet something good. Don't get on the bandwagon with the pity party and all that. You know, let us say something good. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Give somebody some hope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Rather than giving them despair. They got plenty of that already. You know, and you and I have plenty of hope because God has given us hope to move forward, and which we had said this morning, we talked about those three, that Trinity there in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love.
Amen.
See, I said faith is for now, right now. That's what the Hebrews writer said. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then he uses the word hope to talk about future things that God has promised. But love is constantly abiding.
Amen.
You see that? It's going to be there all the time. Faith and hope will run a course.
Yeah.
And then we don't need it anymore, because when you see Jesus, I don't need hope now. I don't need faith now.
Yeah.
I got him. I can hug, grab right on him. I can see myself grabbing his feet right now. There might not be no room down there yet, but get there before me. Because otherwise, I'm going to be at those feet. Because I love him. When you see him, love will still be there.
Amen.
Amen. Now, by faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Amen. So let us pray about insisting that when difficult times arise, or misunderstandings, or bad news, or even tragedy, that by God's Holy Spirit, we might lean on spiritual confidence rather than on other fleshly possibilities and non-spiritual responses that we might have instead. It's a good thing if you can be so well-grounded. Now, I know a lot of people, like I say, are at different levels in their growth. We all are. But God wants to bring you up.
Yes, he does.
He wants to give you that confidence so that when a situation arises, that you speak from the Spirit. You see, and the Holy Spirit is always there. He will always lead you and guide you. And if you learn to slow down that tongue of the flesh, which is difficult to do, not telling you it's easy.
All right.
It's not easy because we always want to immediately say the first thing that comes to our mind. But the Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Now, and so you have to learn how to regulate that. And this is something you can do. And you see that the Apostle Paul said he was able to do that.
Yes.
He said, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus. God has a plan of resurrection. So anybody you may have lost, hopefully they were saved.
Yes.
You know, I grieve a little bit over folks who I don't know whether they were saved or not.
Yes.
But then again, you don't really know. They may have been saved.
Yeah.
If you told them at all, or if they heard it at all, I think God's mercy is going to surprise a whole lot of people.
Because
there are going to be some folks there who you thought wouldn't be there. There's going to be some folks not there who you thought would. That really weren't for real. You're going to go, my, wow, boy, this is going to be a whole new experience. You see, but the resurrection of Christ proves, the main thing I can say to us who are here today is make sure that your confession of faith is real.
Amen.
That you trust Christ.
Amen.
That you believe in him and believe that God raised him from the dead.
Amen.
That's the only thing you see Paul here leaning on. He says, knowing in verse 2 Corinthians 4 and 14, knowing this, that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. You see that? And shall present us with you. There's going to be a presentation of all who really trusted Christ in their life. And we're all coming together at that time.
Oh, yes.
For all things, he says, are for your sake. Everything God made was for man. And that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Everything is for God's glory. That's the purpose of everything.
Yes,
if you can stop worrying about, am I doing God's will? Think about it. What I'm doing, is it glorifying God?
Amen.
All right.
You know, whether I eat or drink or whatever I do, am I doing it all to the glory of God? See, if you aim at the glory of God, you're going to hit the target.
Amen.
Every time. Because you won't be able to do something flaky and say, I'm doing this to the glory of God.
Right.
You know, if you just think about, will God be glorified by this thing I'm doing? Or what, the way I'm thinking, or the thing I'm saying, or how I'm treating people.
Mm-hmm.
See? And you want God to be glorified in everything.
Wow.
You see?
Amen.
And if you do that, you're going to be on the right target. You don't have to worry about the minutia of the law and all of that kind of stuff. Okay, so notice this. He says, for which cause we faint not. We don't lose hope, even though there's trouble. We don't give up and say, oh, we're throwing in the towel.
Amen.
He says, but though our outward man is perishing, I look around, I see a few little more gray hairs, and I'm moving along on up the path. The outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. God keeps you rejuvenated in your spirit every day. So it doesn't make any difference. If he gives me more days on earth, I'm going to try to grow old gracefully and continue to grow spiritually and become stronger and stronger in the Lord.
Amen.
For he says, for which cause we faint not. Look at that. Don't give up, in other words. Keep on. Now notice what he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. All the trouble we're going through is very, very short time.
compared to the glory that we're going to see when we stand before him.
All right.
And it worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Every little thing you do for Christ is working a big thing for you in heaven. See that? He said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, Jesus said, it shall not go without a reward. So every little thing you do on this side will be producing a great weight of glory for God on the other side. Amen. And so we thank God for that. While we look not at the things which are seen, you can overlook some of the crazy stuff you see. But at the things which are not seen, God has promised that he's fixing all things. He's making all things new. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. See, so we're building an eternal kingdom. Right now, think of your life like that. Don't think of it as, well, I don't know what I'm going to do and get into a pitiful situation. God is blessing you.
Yes.
He gave the Son for you.
Yes.
He gave his most precious gift for you in order to make you his child, to fix everything that was wrong between our relationship. I'm fixing it. How am I doing it? I'm giving my Son. And when God looks at me, he can't see the ugliness that you might see when you look at me. You know, why? Because he's got a big blanket of, he sees number red, the blood of Jesus. It's covering me. I see my Son. I see his blood. I don't see anything ugly about you at all. You might be going around putting yourself down. Stop it. Don't do that. God gave the Son for you. Don't put yourself down. God loves you. He gave a great price for you. You know, and he doesn't see any of that. Whatever it is bothering you, I might have this, that, or the other. Different kind of stuff people worry about. Consider it trivial and petty because God loves you.
Amen.
You are a masterpiece in his hands.
We are
his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. See yourself as a masterpiece from God. Especially these children. I want to see them flourish and turn into something wonderful in the world. They can do anything. There are no limitations to what you can do. You know, trust God. Keep your hand in the hands of the Master. And walk with him by faith. Don't let the world scare you. Keep on going. God is with you. He's going to bless you and bring you through. So if you're here today, I just want to offer, extend an opportunity to you today. If you happen to be here and you are not a member of a church, we want to give you the opportunity to connect with St. Timothy, MB Church. God loves you. We love you too, the best we know how. We're learning how to do that better.
Amen.
And so if you're here today and you'd like to unite with the church, we want to ask you to come in to the front row here. And we'll receive you at this time. Amen. And even if you happen not to be saved and you're here and you'd like to come so we can pray with you, we give you that opportunity as well. Those of you who are saved and would like to unite with the church, please come at this time. Amen. This is your time. We set this time aside to welcome you to the family, and we will be blessed to work side by side with you and help you get to the things that God has prepared for you. Amen. And God will reveal those to you as you continue to study his word. The word is such an awesome thing. You fill up with it, you get a deeper understanding of it, and then you start to be able to apply it in your life, and it gives you spiritual confidence that you never had before, and that continues to get thicker and thicker the longer you walk with the Lord. Amen. So we thank God for any of you who would like to come, and at this time we give you that privilege.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we are going to make preparation after this. Amen. We see that there are none, but yet there is room.
Amen.
And let's just have a brief closing word of prayer just before I ask if there are any comments. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you, oh God. We just thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of the psalmist, and thank you for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Lord, it helps us to see somewhat of where we are and how we're heading. And Father, we know you started the good work. You said that you began a good work in us, that you will continue to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you that it's you who works in us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Father, make us more pliable in your hand, Lord. You said we were like pottery on the wheel, and you are the potter, and we are the clay. So help us, O God, to be moldable in your hands, that you might shape us, O God, and make us into the men and women you would have us to be. Father, forgive us if we get rough in your hands and try to get back off the wheel, Lord. And we ask you just put us back, God, and form us on up into that thing that you desire that we would be. We thank you for every home, every family, every person that is represented here. Oh, God, and we ask that you bless each of us individually with exactly what we need. We thank you for the visitors who are here today, God. We ask that you be a blessing in their life, Lord, and that you carry them on a little further than they are now into a deeper spiritual walk with you. And we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We ask that you bless the words that we have heard today, that they would be a part of our being, oh God, and make up extra confidence in us at the time when we need it. And we give you praise and glory, and we ask it in the righteous name of your Son, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, majesty, dominion, and power now and forevermore. And the saints all say it together.
Amen.
We thank God for you. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. So we'd like to give a space to any of you, if you have any comments or questions or anything of that sort, or just want to speak. Go right ahead.
Amen.
All right now.